to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode live of Piercing the Veil Radio. Today is October 23rd. Another wonderful, beautiful, sunny Sunday. I've got Corey on with me. Corey, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Good to be here. How about yourself, man?
Doing well. I'm really excited to see if we get some call-ins this show. We're going to be doing a call-in request. I've actually put that on Facebook, so anybody listening from Facebook, hello, and call in. Don't be scared. At any point during the show, we'll take as many as we can get. Even if you just want to drop us a little comment or a suggestion, or if you have some questions, heck, you got a major life event, and you can come right in. Actually, looks like we've got somebody already. I believe that's Craig. I could be wrong, but Craig, if that's you, just go ahead and hang on for a second. We're going to play a little intro for our listeners. Last week, we did a little bit about the mysteries of conception. We talked about pregnancy, stuff like that. Next week, we're going to have Mike Kerbin. He was supposed to be on this week, but he wasn't able to make it. For those of you who don't know, he's a famous psychic reader, and he's going to be doing readings for everybody that calls in next week. Today's show, in between, we're going to take call-ins, obviously, but today's show, the topic is about ego versus the sacred self. And at the end of the show, we're going to try to unify those two opposites, so it will no longer be a competition or a versus. And now, I have a special surprise for any of you guys that are listening today. Something near and dear to my heart has recently come back into my life, an audio clip that I used to listen to by a great, great medicine man named Jonathan Trudell. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. He is now passed on into the etheric realms, but he still lives on with us in spirit. And so before we get to our first caller, Craig, just hang on there. I promise we'll get to you. Just go ahead and listen to this, and please just sit back and relax and absorb what we're about to play for you.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, carry on the struggle. The generations surged together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children and natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together. Remember, impatient one. Remember and live. Do not be afraid of truth. Respect, discipline, share your life so the people may live. Honor sky and earth. Honor yourself. honor your relations. Remember, impatient one, the gentleness of time. Grandmother Moon, you are more than light in the night. You are more than the moon. You are spirit connection. Your energy is our life. You are memories to generations past. You are the creator of sensations that will always last. You are the knowledge, the teacher, the influence to keep the people sane. You are a healer for spirit pain. Grandmother Moon, we love you. And we are angry at the invaders who trash you and violate our universe with their mechanical uncleanliness. We pray for you, for us, and for the invader who just can't comprehend respect, love, or the balance of life. We do not join the invading madness. From the way they act, it speaks of spirit sadness. Machine money progress is the cause of our common abuse. We see you, Grandmother. We feel you. We love you. We know through your reality we will endure. We are one. We pray for you. We pray to you. Grandfathers whispering in the wind, rejoice at the life you are a part of. Natural energy bound to natural laws. You will survive this temporary madness imposed upon you. Natural life is longer than oppressors' illusionary insanity. Spirits experience human deeds but need not end. This is just one place of changes. Spirit life is forever if you want. The universe is your home. You can survive here. Do not let them kill you. Keep your spirit strong. For distant stars and distant drums are the memories of spirit infancy. Children of Earth, let the spirit live so you can grow in your place in the universe.
Okay. Well, that was super powerful. I hope everyone appreciated that, no matter what your personal beliefs are. Just want to remind everybody here on Piercing the Veil Radio, we accept all beliefs. And we encourage everyone to find their own self-determinant path. So we'll move on with our first caller. But before we do that, I do want to put in this little note. I was listening very carefully to that. I don't know if anybody else heard that, but John Trudell was actually speaking about the moon and then invaders coming to the moon and putting technology on there, which coincides with a lot of the Gnostic texts of the Bible that speak about archons and mind parasites infecting humanity throughout the universe. Also, a bunch of native and indigenous tribes around the world also speak about the time before the moon was brought here. So that was very telling to me, along with all the other powerful statements in that song. That was the Honoring Song by Jonathan Trudell. You can find that anywhere online. I'll give him all the credit, of course. So without any further ado, let's go to our first caller. Comment, question, concern, how can we assist you?
Well, hey, I think your board op got the name wrong, but it's Frank Bacon.
Frank! That happens from time to time, and I saw it coming. I so apologize for that. Frank, welcome back, man.
No worries. You know me, I wear many disguises. I could be a Craig.
You could be a Craig, you sneaky guy. Yeah. How have you been?
Oh, I've been wonderful. It's so good to hear your show back on the air.
Yes, absolutely. We took a break intermittently for a few weeks there during that last month.
Get married. Corey, get married. Or
yeah, got married. A bunch of other stuff happening. You know, a bunch of divorce cases piling on from other people at the same time. So that's an interesting unity of opposite.
Well, congratulations on the marriage. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you so much.
That's an incredible, incredible achievement. I'm very jealous, but very happy for you.
I will transmute your jealousy into power. Thank you.
Sure.
So what do you got for us today in the life of Frank?
Well, it's the same thing, you know, the grandmother moon and the invaders, you know, the topic of both among topics. That was actually my favorite topic before blockchain came and took me down the rabbit hole. But was the archonic infection, which has always been at the forefront of what I've been researching and working on. So I'm glad that you made note of that. I thought that was a very, very important piece by Trudell. He was a very powerful medicine man, very good gifted soul.
Oh, absolutely. I really also identify with his universal aspect, the spirit being universal and not just tied to the earth. And shout outs to all the No Dapple and the Water Warriors and all those guys, but I think a lot of them are really self-entitled, right? Very self-entitled with their speech and their actions. Yes, they're doing good things. I'm not at North Dakota right now, so I can't talk, right, in those regards.
Yeah.
But what I observe is that there's a very, and this is okay for their level, there's a very Gaia-oriented or planet-oriented consciousness as opposed to a true universal self as your higher self really is. It doesn't identify necessarily with any one given planet because it's lived a number of lifetimes on a number of different planets. Whatever your beliefs are, even in the Bible and all sorts of different things like that, there's definite statements and things that are nudging you towards this understanding of universality and humanity throughout the universe. So,
what do you think of the? I wanted to get your take on that, on the North Dakota or the South Dakota situation that was going on up there.
I will say this. They're heavily militarized against them now. In the beginning, when they were just a couple of police officers arresting those people, and 30 others were just standing around yelling protests, I thought that was extremely ineffectual, and they should have nipped it in the bud by everyone forming a wall. Take the police officer's hands off of that person.
Yeah.
Stand in front of them and form a wall with 10 other people, and that officer is going to be forced to do bodily harm or shoot somebody in order to get to that person. And no, I'm not advocating that you willingly put yourself in danger unless you are of the understanding that it's only going to happen if you're in alignment with it. So if you're energetically standing in between them, you might get taken down to the ground and arrested, but you won't get killed. Or nothing could happen, and the guy will back off and be so shocked that somebody's finally checked his power that he thinks he has against innocent people. And this is just a specific case. I'm not generalizing, please. But he'll be so shocked at that point that nothing could happen. But my point really is that somebody has to take that first step. And there are many laws on the books that support interfering with an unlawful arrest, even to the point where it results in an officer's death. Yeah, you're going to be charged and have to go to the court system, but most people are being released in those cases because there was an actual unlawful abuse of force. And that's exactly what was happening to them. What I think about the situation now is that it's sort of too far gone. Unless you guys magically have some sort of military that comes out of nowhere, and again, I'm not advocating for violence, but still, you have to match force with force at that point because it's the only thing that these people understand.
So, I agree. I think there should be a lot more active resistance rather than this pacifism. Not looking to incite violence or anything, but the nature of what they're doing there and the destruction of what they're doing there. You have a bunch of peaceful protesters, and then you have the thugs come out with the dogs and everything. Somebody's got to push back a little bit and show them that these folks are for real, that they're not leaving this land and they're not letting them to do the harm that they want to do. But
that's right. And again, realistically, Frank, realistically speaking, it's not really feasible for them to do that in any other way than legally, and like they're doing and pushing back legally. I would say that the physical pushing back, and again, that doesn't necessitate any type of violence. It just means physically putting yourself in front of the situation. So instead of standing there with your cell phone watching somebody be arrested, five other people and you go and make a human wall around that person, or literally take that person and guide them back to the crowd, and people stand in front of the officer, and those people have to make that conscious choice. I'm taking my life into my hands, but I know that I believe in this and my soul never dies. So, do I spend another 30 years of my life wasting it on Facebook and doing, stupid shit and working at a dead-end job for the rest of my life? Or do I go out with a bang and an understanding, and in my next life, or when I return to my higher self and the source and do all these different things, I have a powerful lesson and I can just go move on? So the cost-reward really is a long-term versus a short-term in that situation. Yeah, you could die today, but what you gain out of the body because of that experience is so much more than if you had lived. That's what I'm saying. So, and that kind of talks to the ego and stuff like that, which is our topic today. So, Frank, I want to thank you so much, man.
I'm going to have to... Look, of course. It was great talking to you. You have a great show, and I'll be listening. Take care.
You as well. I'm going to get you on in the next few weeks. I'll talk to you after the show, and we'll go from there. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Perfect. Bye. All right. Let's jump right into it. What is the ego? Corey, any precluding thoughts on that? What do you have to say?
The ego. Well, I guess according to Freud, isn't the ego kind of the balance between our like subconscious and our the moral rules of society?
I agree with that type of description. I think it's a small part,
mm-hmm.
but I tend to go Jungian, Carl Jung, as opposed to Freud, the fraud,
mm-hmm.
who's responsible for so much of our misdiagnosed disorders and psychology references today. We're people that are just experiencing themselves as a starseed and they don't fit the normal template. They're being labeled ADHD and bipolar and manic and all these different things, which are total bullshit. And Jungian actually speaks about the truth, which is everything is coming from within, and the source of archetypes comes from within. And one of the archetypes or one of the substances or substrates or parts of the universe and universal constant, I believe, is the ego. And the ego, my understanding is that the ego as it exists in the physical is purely stuck in the physical. The ego does not go out of the body. There's something called the sacred self. People identify with it as I am consciousness or Christ consciousness or higher self or oversoul. There's many different names. I call it the sacred self to denote the power of self-determinate like energy that's in the universe. It's respected to love yourself. To love yourself produces love from others, not the other way around. Love to others also produces it, but love from others and receiving comes from loving yourself. It's a trinity that's cycling back in on the point of observance. So the observer, the consciousness is experiencing this. They love themselves, which is like a little internal energy circle. And then it shoots out a band and grabs on the other people and they love them for loving themselves, right? And then the love they give out to those and other people also loops back in. So these are the types of things that people really need to be visualizing and understanding as spiritual tools and not just think it's hooey fooey, hocus pocus, oh, I'm just imagining something in my head. It doesn't exist or have any impact. Just by listening to what we just said, Corey, and what we're talking about and how we're describing the self-love, I think people can actually start to feel that coming into them. So in the same way that we're talking right now, and I'm thinking before I'm talking, and the thoughts are immaterial, they're not just sitting inside my brain, right? They don't just magically come from a chemical reaction. The thoughts are actually coming out into words. And because we're able to express words and show those immaterial things in the physical, then logically speaking, it can also be done for visualization. So, and I'm writing a book about visualization. I want to take this to a whole new level so people actually think of these as actual engines, mechanical machines that they can use to get over obstacles or hurdles in their life. And we'll get a little bit into how it can be used regarding the ego later. But I see it as this. I'm going to sum it all up, and then I'll get back to you, Corey. For our listeners, I see the ego as a survival or defense mechanism, right, that is developed by anything that's inhabiting a body or material in this universe. That means rocks, drums, candles, pens, any material object, guns, whatever you can think of, books, they all have a consciousness. They all have an ego, a self-protecting quality to them, right? And you can argue with me about semantics all day long, but there is an essence of that. Everybody knows that down under, way under their ego. So a survival or a defense mechanism that's developed by a body that's inhabiting this physical universe. And I believe that it protects from the erosion of your main purpose or your main mission. Yes, it can be conditioned easily. Yes, it's twisted most of the time. Yes, it's used in the wrong way. Yes, it's demonized and thought of as a bad thing. And so therefore, people have a negative relationship with it every time it comes up to them. Yes, that's true. But that's not the natural order of things. That's my statement. I believe that its original purpose in the physical body was to protect the soul from its eroding its memory and forgetting what your main purpose or mission was here on Earth. What do you think about that, Corey?
Yeah, that resonates with me, man. I also think it's a I find that in some of the, I think it comes from some of the Eastern religions, perhaps, or some variations of Buddhism, where, you know, some people prescribe gaining an understanding or a control over the ego. And some advocate obliterating the ego altogether. And I never really got the obliteration part, because my sense is that an ego, as you describe, like every object in creation has an ego.
That's right.
And I think the ego is about the differentiation of individual objects or entities
from any other given object or entity, and the
any
sense of ideation.
It gives it a uniqueness. I mean, ego,
that's
it's
right.
An egg, right?
Individualism.
Yeah, so when you're an egg, you have an individual thing. You have a little shell. You have a kind of complete universe. But it's part of, otherwise you wouldn't exist, really. You'd just be part of the all, exclusively.
And nothing would move. There'd be no direction, no change, no forwardness, no backwardness, no flavor, no variation. It would all be constant. And if everything's constant, then everything's staying still.
And no unique differentiated experience, right? You have the all, and then you have the infinite multiplicity.
There's a man that I met recently who's a very well-read and extremely knowledgeable, very wise elderly gentleman. His name's Albert, and I highly respect him. And I just got to say, based on what we were just talking about, he describes man as being a part of God, expressing himself through himself, by himself, for himself, and for others. It's sort of a misquote, but he explains a little bit better. But there's just this pervasiveness of an individual strain of the source, right? Which is then formulated into the ego. And I believe that it's sort of like an anchor. The ego, a healthy functioning ego, is a good thing. And I really, Corey, I really like how you described what options you sort of been presented with in this life. Well, I can control my ego, or I can obliterate it. Well, anybody that knows me is that I will either jackhammer a third door open, right? Or I will find a way to have a third choice. I do not like one, two choices. I don't like, right. Oh, I can do this or that. I never choose those, ever. And I've been successful in my life because of it. And so my third one, which I believe has always been there, is why don't you partner with it, accept it, acknowledge it. In the same way that somebody who's trying to eradicate a cancer from their body will not have the results that they will have if they just, like, so when somebody tries to eradicate cancer, I want to specify real quick, it usually comes back on their body. Like, the body attacks itself, there's some self-feedback loops, there's some energetic return of energy that, like, makes them weak, and then also the chemicals on top of it. If that person were to love their cancer and to not identify it as what cancer has been made to be on this planet, and then partner with it to leave the body, and even create an energetic space by giving it a new home somewhere, like, literally, visualize a little part of your body coming out and duplicating, like, so you don't lose anything of the original. Just make a copy of it and then send it out into a little space or a bubble where the cancer can live in that body and still, because it's a consciousness, still live. Diseases have the will to live.
Right.
You understand? Right. And if you partner with them, they disappear from your body.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, I think there's a third choice to partner with the ego.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard described, and it resonates with me, that when we try to get the ego under control, or try to obliterate it, trying to obliterate it especially, it's almost ludicrous, because by its very nature, it's going to fight to survive.
That's right.
like cancer, you know,
it'll convince you you're winning. That's how insidious it is. Oh yeah, you got me. Oh, I won't do that pattern anymore. Oh, I won't bring that behavior up. Oh, I won't react like that when you hear somebody say that. Oh, it's okay, I promise. You got it this time. And that's what people are always like, oh my God, why can't I get over this? It was because you're battling something that needs to be partnered.
Right, right,
right.
Ego will do anything. It'll do anything, and it's much smarter than most of us.
You're definitely right. You're definitely right.
Effective at survival and getting what it wants than other parts of itself.
So we'll talk a little bit about the opposite side of that and what you really can focus on as opposed to that. But right now we've got Claude on line 2, and we also have an Anthony on line 3. I think I know both of these men. And Claude, go ahead. Welcome.
Hey, Jordan, Corey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, Claude, great to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to hear you, brother. The ego, man, it's an interesting conversation tonight. I view the ego as more like an operating system to interact with the physical our physical experience, and definitely not obliterate, but integrate. And another way to look at it is it's your little self as opposed to your higher self, and just like dealing with another person, it's not about overcoming or controlling. It's more like, you know, how can we create a win-win? An exchange, right? A partnership. So integration is, to me, is what happens in mastery, is when you realize that I am not that, but that it is a part of me and it is a tool for me to use to experience the energetic, goings on in my life and what's happening around me and how am I evolving and how am I growing. But you know, if you're having problems, then you realize that all problems are personal. You're taking things personally, and so then you're in the ego when you're having these type of problems, when these types of energetic fields of influence start showing up. So
I really like how you described, that was the word I was actually looking for, and you touched on the higher self, which is where we're going, so I love you for that, Claude, thank you. But I like how you described integration and the integrating of an operating system. That's exactly what I'm talking about when I say partnering. I mean achieving a balanced state of higher self and ego so that you can give yourself a hand for the things you deserve without feeling the guilt or the shame that's been associated with it. And at the same time, you're not going to overlord over somebody if you're really balanced in your higher self as well. So it's all about walking that tightrope of balance in most issues of life.
And when you confront feelings of things like guilt and shame and anger, if you really send, this happened to me when I went down to the courthouse the other day, and I felt a little bit of energy, not a lot, but I felt a little bit of fear in that environment. And I said, wait a minute, how does this relate to my present moment? How is this being created, this energetic field, in my present moment of now? And I realized it wasn't. There was nothing to do with the present moment that was the fear. It was all about stories in the past and perceptions, and most of our perceptions are not real. Almost all of them are not real. So we're carrying garbage from the past into our present experience, and then saying, "Oh wow, I'm ashamed of this, or I'm guilty right now. I'm feeling fear right now." And it's like, are you really feeling it now, or is it something that you're bringing along? Which is what the ego has a tendency to do, and that's why say, "I want to obliterate it." You don't want to obliterate the ego; you want to obliterate the perceptions that are not real, that kind of get commingled with the ego and the concept of it.
I totally agree. Corey, we've got another caller here. And Claude, thank you so much. I'm going to let you go here. Thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you soon about the court thing. We'll get
forward. Yeah, I love both of you guys. Corey, much love, man. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, man. I'll be in touch.
All right, bro.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Sorry about the wait there, Anthony. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Just to go along those lines and keep in tandem with that, what came to my mind is, well, then what do you do about it? You know, what happened with me and what's happening very recently as well, the more I've I guess subconsciously allowed my ego to exist, but actually keep it not in check, like as in a constant battle, but actually like as a peaceful integrating and overcoming all those fears. And when you're in the moment and you choose to not obliterate it, but also not submit to it, you're literally on the stairway to heaven, or walking that fine razor's edge line that, you know, so many Christians support, you know, razor's edge. You know? I really think it's a spiritual razor, and it's an edge that you walk that is almost everything that happens to you is for a reason, and you are not only protected, but you're enabled by the universe or God or whatever you want to call it, and that's like when the miracles happen. And
yeah, I totally agree with you. And there's something stood out that you said, which is the razor's edge, and sort of how I was talking about walking a fine line of balance of integration with the ego, which is your solution to your question, along with a number of other things. But I want to make it clear that at some point you could walk on a concrete pathway, right? You can widen your scope. So by using tools that partner with the ego, or by using tools that actually integrate with the ego, such as visualization, like hardcore visualization, that's the name of my new book that I'm writing. And I'm talking about like total full-on belief that this will manifest results in the physical. Not letting the ego get in the way and say, oh, that's not possible. What are people going to think of you? You're going to be thought of as crazy. None of that stuff. Let all of it go, breathe, relax, let it out of your body. And at that point, you can visualize what you want and the tools that you want to use with your ego in any given situation. So I really think that's the answer to your question. And so then in a visualization term, what you described as walking that razor edge then becomes extremely easy, because you could walk in a whole field of grass. You're widening your perspective. You're widening your point of view. You're widening your toolbox that you can use to partner with the ego.
You make yourself smaller, and that razor's edge becomes 10 miles wide.
Well, you could do that as well. But see, it just depends on where you're at and what you need and what's useful to you. Like Corey, what do you think about that?
I like the analogy. You know, I think the ego, and Claude touched on it, fear and stuff like that. The ego is also there. I believe that the ego thinks that its job is to protect you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, whenever we use our creative abilities, whenever we aspire to achieve something that requires a little extra effort, or stepping outside of our comfort zone, or acquiring new skills, or taking risks and chances, there's the perception of danger there. You know, it's like your parents, or your mom or your dad or something, you know, don't climb that tree, or be careful when you're doing X, Y, and Z. You know, so in a way, the ego is there to protect you, but it seems like that desire to protect you is coming from a lot of different places and not necessarily from your true self. So it oftentimes ends up creating obstacles for you to keep you safe, to keep you where you are, as opposed to, you know, if you partner with it, then it can help you to take you where you want to go. Right.
Yeah, and you just need to acknowledge it. Sorry, I just wanted to break in on what you said. You got to acknowledge it when you're partnering with it. Acknowledge it as consciousness.
Right, you got to acknowledge it. And it also, it has that sense that if your other self or other parts of yourself are making decisions in your life and taking certain actions, and you leave the ego out, you know, the ego is going to feel like, well, shit, you're just leaving me by the roadside. You're abandoning me. And that's when it blows back on you, starts throwing obstacles in your way to take you up on your desired path because it feels like it's going to get left or abandoned or obliterated. That's why I still am amazed, you know, by the obliteration of the ego thing. That just never resonated with me, and just the nature of the ego to try
actually,
to obliterate.
It's kind of like when you, I'm sorry to cut you off. It's when you say you're having fun and you're, you know, you could feel guilt about that, like you said, or fear, you know, that you're going to succeed or have fun. And in a lot of the ways, the ego has a lot of fun, and that's not a damaging thing. It's actually a part of your personality that
that's
that
right.
allows itself to feel really good and proud of itself and justified, you know.
Right. It's a self-feedback loop for energy, for when you put out energy that does good works and resonates with the universe,
yeah,
and the karmatic laws say that this energy should come back to you. It's a function,
exactly.
Like Claude said, it's an interface, a mechanical thing that you can receive the energy, and that energy is the feeling of, oh, I did a good job, or I helped somebody, or this or that.
Sure.
And yes, it's healthy. Your relationship with it might not be healthy at this point because of social conditioning, but that is what needs to change along with the perception and then using the tools.
Yeah.
So are you complete? Does that kind of answer the question that you were asking?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
That sums it up.
All right.
And I felt that it's so important to talk, and I'm glad you summed it up. It was beautiful.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate you calling in, and I will actually see you after the show, so I'll talk to you soon about those other things as well. So, Anthony, thank you so much.
All right, you guys.
Corey, excellent points. All right. Both of you guys, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Bless you guys.
Likewise. Thank you. Okay. All right, Corey, so we talked a little bit about the ego. We did touch a little bit about false narratives. One of those is to kill the ego, or, you know, even it's pervading, and a lot of people might take offense with me because of this, and, you know, it's okay. I'm going to poke that bear. It's even pervading the New Age or the consciousness movement with people like Knocko Bear, who I believe has the best intentions, right? But, you know, today is a good day for my ego to die, right? No, it's not. It's not a good day for that, right? It's a good day to come into harmony and balance, and don't give up yourself to others without giving to yourself to sustain you. It's not selfish. It's self-love. Everyone needs self-love. And if everyone was giving themselves self-love, you wouldn't feel the need to go give it away in service to others, because there would be no problems in the world, albeit there's a few individuals of negatively oriented factions working with extraterrestrial races that have been around for hundreds of thousands of years that are using holographic technology and all sorts of other things, along with the Archons, and their and child ritual sacrifices and all these nasty things happening in the physical realm. All that is set up to keep that type of ideal from happening, right? Because everybody's always going to be in a state of fear and they can't feel their love, and then what I just described doesn't get to happen. Yes, there's that, but it's being worked on, and you have the power to work on it visually, with visualization, meditation, and also in your dreams, intentional dreaming. So I do digress, and we'll come back to the false narratives. So when somebody like Knocko Bear says, today's a good day for my ego to die, I totally reject it. I feel an actual response in my body like, no, fuck that. Fuck you for saying that. No. And it's not just, oh, it's my ego coming up. It's like a piece of my soul is like, no, we all have the right to be unique. We all have the right to be who we are without anybody else telling us what we need to be. And it does affect that. It ties into that. When you try to kill the ego, you're losing. You're trying to kill yourself. Which is why it fights so hard, Corey. That's what it's protecting you from, is the loss of self, the loss of what am I? What is the substance of me? What do I really truly believe in? What do I feel without anything else around me? If I was just in a small container of consciousness and I didn't experience any of this bullshit on this prison planet, who would I be? And that is under attack every single day. So why attack it yourself? What, are you going to help those negative forces? Kill what's left of you? No. Right? And so that is what's happening, unfortunately, and that's what you have in the sheeple phenomenon, right? You wonder how it could be so bad. How could people still fucking vote for a criminal fucking killer and has a trail of bodies behind her, football fields wide? How could you vote for somebody like that? right? And don't get me into don't voting and not voting at all. I'll tell you this. In any other given election, I will say the candidates don't matter, the controlled opposition. In this election, there's a lot of positive military factions and intelligence agencies that are supporting this guy who has been asked to run, who never wanted to run, and was self-supporting his own campaign. He's not beholden to anybody. And how people can still, after watching every single video of her and her face and her body language and fake smile that she has to be cued to smile at unnatural times, all of these different things, not to mention the emails and the Benghazi and the laughing about getting a 12-year-old child rapist or child rapist of a 12-year-old off of charges and all these other things. Irrespective of that, how can somebody be so dumb? I don't care if I offend you, please, you know, unfriend me or whatever if you feel you have to, if you're that triggered. But how could you be so ignorant? Well, I do. I understand you now. It's because you're killing yourself and you're giving away to social pressures. You're not becoming who you truly know you can be. And it's not good or bad. It's just what you're choosing. I don't judge you for it. I was there at some point in my life. God forbid I'll be there in the future. I don't think so. But the solution is choice. Choose to inform yourself. Choose to go within. Choose to figure out what you truly feel without anybody else thinking about what it would sound like or what it means to you with your status in society. And when you truly release that, you'll find that you are love and that you are an individual strain or idealistic strain of love that it's like a snowflake that nobody can replicate. And you'll start to appreciate yourself without shame or guilt.
It's an excellent example. I mean, why would the all create a multiplicity? It's got to serve the all in some way, right?
That's right.
So each object, each entity's individual ego is its kind of unique aspect of the all. You know, I think there's a confusion between ego and egotism, right? Egotism is like, I don't know, something that people tend to do to cover up some sense of inadequacy in themselves, right? They overcompensate,
That's right.
You know, being egotistical. Everyone knows an egotistical person, or an arrogant person, as opposed to a self-confident person or a self-loving person. You know, the subtleties are, you know,
they're two forms. That's right. They're two forms of the same energy. One's useful to most people. One's not useful to most people.
Right.
It's just how it is. It's just how it appears and shows up. And there are certain constants, or what you would call semi-constants. They're not necessarily universal laws, but they show up to the majority of souls in this region. For some reason, whatever vibration we're on makes it a part of our reality in a semi-consistent manner. And that's one of those things. Most people don't like that. Most people don't get along with that. There's a lot of friction. So yes, thank you for reiterating all that stuff. That the ego is bad, it needs to die, is all false narratives, right? But at the same time, on the other side, you know, the overdeveloped things and stuff like that need to be repartnered into balance. So we've talked a lot about that. We're running a little bit short on time, so I want to talk about the sacred self and then a unification of the two. And Corey, I just want to sort of give a brief overview to our listeners. I believe that the sacred self or the I am consciousness or the Christ consciousness or the this or the that is an individual soul or energy or part, right? And it participates in an overall fashion and connectivity way, which gives us that feeling of I'm all that is, you know, and that I am and we're all one and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you're all one person coming together into a group and becoming one, but also retaining. That's what an individual republic is, right? I really identify a self-determinant republic as the one form of government that so closely mirrors or mimics the higher self, the self-determinant piece of God, or the thing that's expressing itself individually, right? With all awesome power and no disrespect, no shame, no fear, no guilt. This is what I am. I am that I am. You cannot unfuckwithable, right? And so I believe that thing itself is basically serves a purpose as a electromagnetic expression of sorts, sort of forming a record. So the soul and the memory of every lifetime that you've ever experienced, from your creation and splitting off of the source or creator and all the way back, and everything you've ever done for billions or however long you've been around as a soul, I think that, and I believe and theorize that that is contained in an electromagnetic bubble that goes and passes along with the soul upon death from body to body. It stays with you. And that the state of being on this planet is so messed with that most people have trouble remembering without special tricks like a past life memory recall or intense visualization or hypnosis and so on and so forth. And so really what you have here is the sacred self, which is the higher version, sort of the souped up version of the ego. And it's a balanced, harmonious thing that's never wrong. It's where the subconscious comes from. The subconscious is a communication tool of the higher self. That's all it is. It never lies. Okay? And so I believe it's accumulating all of the personal understanding and your soul memory, your sense of yourself, who you are, personal identification factors, the way that your body looks, which when you're out of the body, I have a theory that the soul body or the light body is an amorphous blob of every single shape or form that you've ever taken, which usually comes out bipedal or human looking, right? Something similar to that. I've actually had dreams about that type of stuff. So again, just to reiterate, I think that it's the sense of purpose. It's who you are. It's what you're doing. It's that individual strain of God or source that is the higher self. And that is what trickles down into the physical. And one of its communication tools is the subconscious. And then the subconscious informs the ego about what it should be doing, right? And the ego has been sabotaged by most of these archonic entities to perform on a self-feedback loop. So it's disconnected. And of course, there's physical conditioning, social pressure and conditioning that leads to this. But it's on the self-gratifying feedback loop of patterns and unconscious patterns and time-wasting, time-assassinating patterns that, you know, emotions and emotional loops and all this crap and hamster wheel. That's what I call it, the hamster wheel, right? Now, if it was functioning normally and you have integrated it, like Claude said, then you would be able to solve some of the problems that Anthony was talking about and anything else, because it would automatically join back together, and then there would be a clear chain of command from the sacred self or the higher self all the way through to the mind of the soul, and then from the mind of the soul to the brain, from the subconscious to the physical part of the mechanics of the subconscious in the brain, and then the conscious of the brain. And then all those things are talking to the ego, right, which sits in the bodily region and soul areas and hormones and a lot of chemical responses during emotions. That's the ego. The ego is tied into your endocrine system, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like right. Your chakras and your plasma portals. So there's right. A lot to cover. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to just describe clearly, because we talked a lot about the ego, and I wanted to talk clearly about what the sacred self is. It's the driving force of who you are. Right. And then the universe is a unification or a trinity of opposites. The unity of two opposites equals a result of a unified, harmonious field. And then that field breaks down again into opposites and then unifies itself in the same way or another, just depending on what the constant or semi-constant of that universal region is or what dimension it's in. Right. And that works on time, too. So time loops on itself in one dimension, time goes straight in one dimension, time goes backwards in another dimension, time goes up and down faster or slower or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the same thing with anything. It's all a constant of the universe. Everything's fractalized. Oh, that concept describes that. Great. Well, that also describes the function of that part of the galaxy. Great. Well, that also describes the function of the part of the universe. Great. Well, that also describes the function of a dimension, right? And then that happens an infinite number of different times in different ways in all these other dimensions. And so do anything else that you can think of. Oh, I dropped my phone. It floats a half inch off the ground in this dimension, or it goes flying up into the air in this dimension. You know what I mean? You can do it with anything. And if you realize that you can flow in your life by just remembering these types of truths that and knowing them, then most of your problems will literally step out of the way for you. And that's being in that's truly being in touch with your higher self. People are always asking, oh, how do I do this through meditation and blah, blah, blah. You don't need meditation. You talk to it all the time. Just go, hey, look, I understand that these truths are real, that the universe is infinite, universes are infinite, multiverse, whatever you want to call it, and that these things happen, and I choose to flow. And by making the choice to flow, all of your stuff will start shifting for you. Everything that you've ever asked a question about in your life will start shifting. I guarantee you. What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you, and I'm thinking in terms of what you were saying before about when you were speaking to visualization in terms of as a tool for harmonizing the ego and the higher self, you know, and then maybe that's a conversation that we should have at some point too, you know. I know the visualization. It takes work. It takes dedication, takes focus, and emotion. It's one thing to have, you know, to paint pictures in your mind. It's hard enough to keep a steady picture in your mind for most of us.
Or think about something for longer than 17 seconds. Try it. I dare you, listeners.
All right.
Dare you. Think about something for 17 seconds and nothing else.
Right. And so, yeah, I like what Claude said about relating the ego to an operating system, in a way, right? Because the operating system basically accesses RAM, or accesses memory, or super consciousness. Like, you know, it accesses all that there is. And it's like a conduit for doing certain things, for performing certain operations.
And the line coming down, Corey, from the higher self, it never lies. And there's a guy, I forget his name, but he does research. I want to do this on one of the next shows. There's a guy that does research. He has people talk about their life's purpose or whatever they want. And he'll record their voice and then play it backwards at 130% or 120% is usually that range that he says it works best at. And you can hear the subconscious talking. And it talks in little clips and phrases and little tiny words, but it does not lie. And in fact, he used it, and he was interviewing a bunch of people. And one of the guys just happened to be a suspect in a murder of a 7-year-old boy. I think this is in Germany or something like that. I believe Albert was the one that told me about this, the man that I was talking about earlier. And this guy was, you know, passed over as a suspect in the case. And when the investigator was researching the voices, that guy's voice stood out, and he played it backwards, and it was like, "Kill that fucking kid! I hate that guy!" You know, like basically just as much negative hate as you could possibly have, and he alerted the police, and they went back and they reinvestigated him. They found some sort of evidence, I believe, that tied him to the murder of that kid.
Wow.
And he proved unequivocally that, like, it will not lie. It just will not. It will speak the truth of your existence. And so I actually want to read some things to myself and record them and have you do the same, and any listeners who want to come on and contribute or email me with that. And then we'll play those backwards live on the air and see what we come up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we'll do in the future.
Yeah.
So I want to let you talk a little bit as we close out. I think we actually have been told right now that we can go a little tiny bit over. We won't abuse that, so we'll go a little bit over. Fire away, Corey. Like, anything you want to say about this or anything else you want to bring up, just let me know, and I'll just bounce off of you.
Well, I'd like to go back to something's coming up about, you know, the ego as throwing obstacles in our path or something, right? A lot of times, maybe, sometimes the ego is associated with addiction, right? Like, what makes us, you know, what makes us continue to do things that we have a sense, maybe it's our higher self telling us somehow or another, that we should forego somehow, or our practices or attitudes that we should change in our life, and yet we somehow gravitate back to that familiar place, whether it's good for us or not. And I'm thinking in terms of what I mentioned before, is the ego kind of being a protector in a way. And how do we negotiate playing it safe versus taking a risk or taking a chance or moving into unknown territory?
Well, the first thing, I really like that question, man. That's super deep. And I would just cut right to the root, like I usually do, and say the first thing is you got to get a clear perspective on who you really are and where you're coming from before you make that decision. And so by determining, am I going to take this risk, which it could be as low as, you know, getting in the car and getting into a car wreck and not having the finances to fix it, or as high as, you know, you're about to die from some situation that you're making a choice to go into, or you could possibly well die. And that happens all the time. So how do you make that decision, Corey? Well, you look at the fact first, you take a deep breath and go, and then visualize, I'm this tiny little speck out of this whole causality. There's this whole universe and dimensions, all this stuff that's happening. This thing that I'm about to make a choice on represents this part of that whole, which is a pretty big hole as opposed to a very small part. And once you've gained that universal perspective, you can kind of dial it back in a little bit and say, well, you know, I kind of like my friends here on this planet, you know, or I like this or I like that. And bring these other things into perspective and dial down instead of just being trapped in these little tiny things. And you never get to consider the universal perspective of, well, hey, maybe this falls in line with my galactic mission of what I'm supposed to do and make a statement or change the world or influence people's emotions or whatever I'm supposed to do at that moment. So, yes, I'll take the risk. Or, no, I don't want to take the risk. It's not part of my mission, or it's not part of this or that. But only by zooming out first and getting that consciousness and getting that relativity. I do not like Einstein. I disagree with a lot of his stuff. But the one word that I like using is relativity, because everything is relative. In a sense. And so by gaining that sense of relativity before you make your decisions of those nature or any other nature in your life, by just taking the time to visualize that for a half a second or 2 seconds or however long it takes you, you're improving yourself. Even if you don't make the decision you thought you should have made, you're still improving yourself. You're gaining tools, and you're getting closer every single time to never having to get stuck in a loop, because you'll always see it at any given moment. Instantaneously, you'll be like, nope, I'm a small part of the whole. I have the power to make the decision based on my life path, and it's not in my life path, so fuck that. No thanks. Right? Or, yeah, dude, I think that's exactly what I need to do. It's a little risky, but no, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. It protects this person, or it benefits somebody else, or it helps humankind, or it saves some person from being beaten or killed or raped or tortured or thrown in jail. Yeah, I'm going to do that at the expense of my life. I'll do it. And in fact, time and time again, research and studies have shown and proven that when a human being sees somebody else in danger, 10 out of 10, it's just one person didn't act on it. 9 times out of 10, somebody will act immediately without thinking about themselves. Person that has a family, person that's heavily invested in cars, material wealth, or clothes. Most of those, there may be one exception, I should say, or a number of exceptions, but that stat usually stands because that is the nature or the constant of the human soul, or what we would call human nature, if you will, is to be loving and kind and giving at the moment that it's most necessary. Mm-hmm. And so they will literally put themselves in danger to save somebody else. I've felt that multiple times. Something almost popped off and I felt myself get up, right? And it's not something that most people can control. I was aware of it, and I didn't fight it because I thought I knew it was the right thing to do. It's this feeling when you think about, listeners, right now, before we end our show, think about what makes you you, what you love, what you need to be, what you're here to do, and that feeling that comes up. Release the ego or shame or guilt of feeling appreciative of who you are and what you're here to do, and feel that right now with me. Even while I'm talking, Corey, I think you can feel it. I can feel this, like this wiping away fear, everything. So these are things that people need to be doing need to choose to be doing, at any given moment. It's not something you can forget about. There's no excuse. In the age of information, there's no excuse now. You have this tool now. There's no excuse or justification to say, but but he did this in my relationship and blah, 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 blah. No. Stop it. Stop it. You're doing your patterns, right? Or, oh my God, it's so hard. I have to do this and blah, blah, blah. No. It's not. You just need to change your perspective and your relationship on it and understand what's really important. And go face it. Go take that energy of that shitty job or whatever you have. Take it fucking head on. Take that head on and embrace it and use it and transmute it into good and use it for your own power and your own good. Be. And that's what needs to be done. And that will fix everything, Corey. And that's answer to your question, my questions that I've had, all of it. The solution is there. People just need to make the choice to continue to doing it, to do it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that.
Well, thank you. You always have this way of bringing up what needs to be said in a concise manner, and then it allows me to elaborate on it. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
and I appreciate everybody who's called in. Thank you so much to Frank Bacon and Claude Albert and Anthony. We appreciate you guys. Corey, you're awesome, man. I appreciate it, everything that you've done for me. I'm just in a state of gratefulness right now. And I want to say I'm really looking forward to Mike Kerbin, Confucius, coming on next week. He's going to have an awesome show with us. The guy's just a phenomenon. I mean, he is the real deal. He really is. Psychic reading is about a subconscious link that everybody has a subconscious link with their soul or their God or their deity or their source or whatever they believe in. So why is it so illogical to think that people can have it between each other? Duh. And that most people are gifted at that. And that's what he's doing. It's logical. It's scientifically proven that people can communicate non-physically and to read other people and get information that's being transferred in energy packets by that person's aura. This guy can do it over the phone. Which is why we're going to have him on next week. And anybody listening, if you haven't had a chance to call in, please, I would ask you to call in next week, Sunday at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Give us a call, 888-429-5471, choose Station 2. Again, I'll say that. They always do the repeating. 888-429-5471, Station 2. And get yourself read. And if it doesn't resonate with you, tell him on the air. But I guarantee you he's going to strike a chord with you because he's always right. It's a very intense connection. And if you're brave enough to do that, I will be doing it. Corey, would you like to volunteer?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. There's two already. At least you can sit back and listen, anybody that doesn't want to participate. But call that number next week. Please do that. Thank you for listening. Always look within and remember that you're love and that love can stand in the face of hate and still take action without becoming hate. Okay. All right. So we'll end that episode and I'll see you next time.